system recording of August 9, 2017, Audit and Finance Committee meeting to convene at 4 p.m. at the boardroom of Chugach Electric Association at 6601 Electric Drive, Anchorage, Alaska.
9, August, Audit and Finance Committee meeting. It is 4:03 p.m. and roll call. We have directors on the board, Director Reiser, myself, and we in the room, and then we have on the phone Director Henderson. On the agenda, we have number 2, approval of the agenda. Is there a motion for approval?
Move to approve. Whatever he didn't do, I'll do. Second.
Okay, Jim moved, Janet seconds. Any discussion on the agenda? Hearing none, all in favor of approval of the agenda, say aye.
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 And next item, we have the minutes from the June 6th meeting. Is there a motion for approval of the minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion on the minutes? All in favor of approval of the minutes, say aye.
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 Are there any persons to be heard in the room? So I see no wholesale or member comments to be made at this time. And next we have our CEO's reports and correspondence scheduled for under item 5. So we will, so the 2017 financial information also will be under new business. Are there any questions that we want to take out of this section 5 to discuss in more detail?
Well, just can we have a brief summary? I'm sorry, I'm not as prepared as I'd like to be. Just can you just go through briefly if there are any outstanding items here that we should have our attention called to?
Well, the June variance report is included, so you'll have your monthly activity for June and then your year to date. So there's nothing really. The only thing that I would like to point out, and Jody's going to point this out when we go over the financial information, is we did move the Beluga parts from materials and supplies to a regulatory asset, so you will see that on the balance sheet. You'll see that move down from, we got approval from the RCA. So as far as that, that's probably the biggest of note that you'll see on the balance sheet.
And why do we do that, Sherry?
So the inventory, or we call it inventory, but it was all the parts associated with the Beluga units. So because now the operation of Beluga has gone into peaking or emergency backup, so unless you put all of that, those parts into service, you don't get recovery. So there's about $11.5 million that we had in on our books for inventory, and some of the inventory has, you know, you can't get anymore, and it's obviously really critical for the operation at Beluga. So it's critical, but unless you run those units and put that stuff in service, you won't get recovery. So we made a filing with the RCA. I know Arthur has probably talked about it. You'll see it in the 10-Q that we ask the RCA to allow us recovery of that over the life of Beluga. So in the current depreciation study, when the RCA, we filed the current depreciation study, which extended the life of Beluga. Some of the units are shorter life, but the rest of them are 10 years. We ask for recovery of those parts, that inventory, in a sense, over the same period. So by the time that the life of Beluga ends, we have recovered all of that.
Okay.
So it's pretty significant, $11.5 million. It was the best mechanism we had to reduce our risk. Otherwise, if Beluga were to make a decision not to use it, we would need to write that off.
Okay.
So that was a mitigating filing that we did, and the RCA approved it. So that went into effect July 1 in our rates.
Okay. So with the inventory and parts be a combination of things we purchased kind of as recent as or over the life, I guess, when would be the most recent need that we would have had to purchase parts, I guess, for those parts that, like you said, some of them you can't get it and they're older.
So maybe Paul could answer this question. The details of the timing, I'm
like
not
sure.
Like,
if we get, if in the future while we run this plant as a peaking or as needed, like if we have to
purchase more, we will expense them.
And do we have to let the RCA, do we have to seek approval for future, or is the approval cover in the future?
I believe, and Paul can probably clarify this, but I don't believe there's going to be any need for any significant purchases in the future. So I don't believe additional regulatory approval would be required unless we changed our decision-making associated with the units. But if they're just running for peaking, and once the power pool's up and running, I think the peaking will be less, so it's emergency standby. So I think the risk of us doing an overhaul or making improvements to those units are very low. But if there are incidental inventory purchases going forward for just general maintenance, we'll expense them.
Okay.
But it should be immaterial. Do you have anything more to add?
Yeah. Maybe give you a little history. If you go to the gas turbines, I don't know if you've ever been on a Beluga.
I never got a chance. Yeah. I almost did, but the weather was really bad.
Well, a little bit unfortunate, but there are a bunch of rows of blades, and very expensive. Some of them are $1 million a row. And so, and back, we did an upgrade in about year 2000, 2001 with Alstom Power. We had some additional inventory at that time, both reflecting potential emergency need and anticipating overhauls every 3 years on a unit. We moved that to every 4 years. And that was when we were base loading them, and now we've changed the operation with the new power plant. And particularly on the two Alstom units, we may never do a major again. But should there be, we operate it and have a problem, we have the parts available. They're not the original parts. We've been changing them in and out since the year 2000, again, every 3 or 4 years. There are also some parts related to the GE Frame 7s, and we're budgeting one major next year on one of the units because we run out of hours because of things, Golden Valley, thank you to MLMP, and it just made really not running the plant, but reasons to continue running it continue to happen, though they aren't anticipated, you know, a year ahead. Next year, we're contemplating power pooling being operational and very rarely running a unit at Beluga, but depending on what really happens. So that's what happens in terms of the parts.
Okay. So they went from inventory to where? How they've been recategorized to where you mentioned that?
Yeah, so on page 2 of the variance report, you can see that at 12/31, they were sitting in materials and supplies, fuel stock. So we went from 34.2 million down to 22.
You're right.
And then when you go down to deferred debit, just a couple rows down, you can see that jumped way up from 25 to 34.
Okay.
So it was just a classification, and what it means is we got regulatory approval, so now it's a regulatory asset.
Okay.
So.
So what happens if we sell these? How does it get recharacterized if we are now able to depreciate them down to zero?
So I think you're referring to selling the spare parts.
If, for example, we don't need Beluga anymore, we end up selling them. I'm just curious, then how is that treated?
So, Arthur, do you think we'd make an adjustment to the regulatory asset at that time to make sure that the members receive that benefit?
That would be the most appropriate thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just kind of curious, not that I'm advocating it. I'm just...
No, and it's a very good question. The model, and SPP brought this on, is what happens with a lot of these parts is you reach obsolescence actually near the end of the life of the units, 35 years for SPP. And who, you know, nobody knows where things are really going to be 35 years from now, but it's very likely the parts we're buying to be spares will really be obsolete for anybody else at the same time. We may never use them. Now, what we've done with the engine is we swap it in and out, but we're trying to match the inventory depreciation utilization period over the life of the plant. And this makes perfect sense to me. It's something we historically hadn't done. And now we're bringing that same concept over to the other units and matching effectively the cost of the parts, this inventory parts over the life of the plant.
And so how does this, so now we're allowed to put in rates. What is the impact to rates? Is there any significant impact to rates that we have to do an SRF filing because of this?
It's already in the current SRF. The rate's effective July 1. And it really wasn't, we had two big adjustments. One real big one was really the change in depreciation expense, which dropped close to $6 million.
Okay.
And then this would be an offset to that of about $1 million.
There, Greg.
Hey, Jim.
Well, yeah, I said that you still there.
Can you hear Arthur when he was talking?
Yeah, I can hear him. And you just cut out there for a second.
I
lost it altogether.
So simply, you have about $10 million in parts, 10-year life, $1 million a year.
Okay. So nothing to write home about, as they say.
Manageable.
Well, the depreciation was going down $6 million, and so the net effect is $5 million reduction instead of the...
Okay.
So...
Yeah, so rather than
still a reduction.
$10 million at the end of life year.
At the end of your life a year. Okay.
Just spreading it out. Much better for us.
Oh, good. Good.
And then Jody is gonna cover some other highlights when he goes over the second quarter financial information. So but other than that, do you have any other questions? We did make some other adjustment in the budget. You'll notice that the budget status report, we did an adjustment, and there's two items. The beluga parts we just talked about, that it's a known and measurable, so those are in rates effective July 1. And also when we converted $40 million of commercial paper, we needed to make that adjustment. And that also is in the rates, and we're currently charging that. So what you'll see on it is we've increased the interest because we went from a commercial paper rate to a fixed rate.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can see the impact of the half of a year of of those parts. And as you can see, you have an offsetting entry to revenue because it's being recovered in revenue right now in rates. So that's the only adjustment we made to the budget.
And I like that we marked the row with the adjustment.
And I don't really have anything else unless there's any questions on capital tracking or the contract status.
So I didn't have any questions since our pre-meeting. Jim, do you have any? So if we don't have questions on the capital tracking report or contract status, we'll move on to new business section 6 of the agenda.
Second, you think one question? Hello? You think one question?
Yes, go ahead.
Back on the variance report.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that our cost of purchase power was up, and it's faded because we were buying more expensively produced electricity when we couldn't use the MLP generation. What did we use? May I ask?
Did you get the question, Sherry? I don't know if I can repeat it.
So we were generating more of our own power, and we were purchasing less because we had anticipated in the budget that we would be purchasing from MLMP. So purchase power expense is actually lower. And when you look up under fuel, you'll notice that we burned more fuel because we were having to supplement that. We ran some beluga units when we didn't think we would need
to. The cost of fuel was higher.
Correct.
I remember that. Excuse me, I remember that. Okay, no problem. Keep going.
That's it.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Jim. Then next item on the agenda is new business, and then we'll have the second quarter financials. And I think it's Jody.
No Kathy tonight.
No Kathy. It says here, but you don't look like Kathy. Don't cancel me.
Happy to have
you. I do.
On that?
Yeah, sorry.
Just a moment.
Absolutely.
Can I capture this? All right, well, Sherry already stole some thunder in there, so some of this, I'll just touch on real lightly, but mid-year update through June, financials. So we'll look at the megawatt hour sales, a couple graphs there, and of course, look at our financial statements, the statement of ops, the balance sheet, and the statement of cash flow. You've looked at these graphs earlier this year already. They really haven't changed significantly. That downward trend that you've seen over the last 4 years. The good part is that we took an uptick here this year, 2017. So that brown or orange second from the right-hand side column indicates we've gone up. But that is largely due to cold weather. And I can tell you, I just kind of looked at temperatures, and we averaged somewhere between 7 and 10 degrees on average colder first few months of the year than we did the last 4 years, the average of any of the last 4 years. So significantly colder.
Really?
Yeah. So it was definitely a colder winter all the way around.
Well, that's going to be an interesting comparison, you know, with the people on their dashboards and watching their bills with respect to temperature. I think that's going to be, I think there's some additional information you can get out of watching that and try to separate the cold temperature versus less usage through conservation. So that's very interesting, though.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting because it didn't really make up for where we were in the past, so you know that erosion's really there, but it took a cold winter to even bump that.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
And you can see Seward sales, very similar pattern here. The uptick not quite as great, but still an uptick nonetheless.
And there's more seasonal
Yeah. Those sales translated really well to the bottom line here under patronage capital margins. You can see we're up right now. We were at actual $2.1 million. We budgeted $649. We're up $1.5 million almost. Two-thirds of that revenue variance, or two-thirds of that variance is really due to the revenue side of it. The other third is due to just expenditures being under budget. I do want to point out just real quick, if you went through there, you'd see we look like we're down in transmission, production, distribution, and we are. There's a little bit of an increase there in A&G. We've got some IT costs, and I think we talked about it in the variance report a little bit, the allocation of how we allocated some IT costs. We'll go back through that process next month, and we're going to shore that up a little bit better. So what will happen is you'll see A&G come down in terms of the variance there. And you'll see some of the other columns come back up, the production and transmission distribution, those costs will go back up. And it's just really an allocation thing on a budget versus
actual. And it's all surrounding around IT. Was there a new initiative in IT that we haven't spread the costs out to the areas yet, or is that due to?
Well, so the way we allocated IT in the budget, they need to do a forecast of what projects they're going to be working on,
right,
the systems, and what they're going to be supporting, and what they anticipated that they would be doing in the budget and how that got allocated versus what they're actually charging to. Though we did look, and we're going to do a true up because we have shifted some stuff around after further analysis of the projects and really looking at the financial category they should be going to. So when you look at A&G, truly, you can see the other areas where they're just lower, and it's really just the way we budgeted versus how they're actually being charged. So.
Okay, so there's nothing new there. It's just a matter of truing up the expected and the budgeted.
And you'll see that next month in the reports. But the good part overall here is we're up going into the second half of the year, so that's always nice.
Maybe it will be one of those scrambles again.
Exactly. Pie chart, just looking at where our operating expenses are, and really not significantly different. 69-70% of that is going to be in the fuel purchase power and the fixed cost depreciation interest expense. So that part of the pie is, you know, typically the big piece of the expenditures for us, and the smaller piece is more the area that we get to work on and control a little bit. But those numbers are pretty much where they've been. They don't change significantly. The balance sheet, the asset side of this, Sherry jumped in here a little bit and took over. If you look at that right-hand side, you'll see really the only big significant variance in there was materials and supplies numbers that we just talked about, and the deferred charges there. And that's typically what you want to see in your balance sheet. It's fairly static. You're not going to see a lot of changes in a balance sheet. And she spoke to that pretty well, so I think that was covered well. On the liabilities and equity side here, the big numbers that you can see on the right-hand side that changed with the bonds payable, the long-term debt, and coming down a little further, the commercial paper, the $26 million too. And we'll talk just a little bit more about that on the cash flow. It's easier to see it there, but those are really, if you look at the rest of those numbers, there's really not any significant changes in that balance sheet there. But I'll hit it on the cash flow in a second. Cash flow. So we always start at the top, cash flow from operating activities. The margin's 2.17. I'm only going to look at the 630/17 column there. But you can see a non-cash item there, depreciation amortization. We're going to add back $21 million there, come up with total cash of $22 million going forward. And then you've got cash flow from investing activities. So we did spend $15.5 million in extension replacement of plants. So that's an outflow, and that's typically what we would do this mid-year anyway, those dollars. And then you've got from financing activity, the two numbers I was just talking about, you've got that decrease of short-term obligations, the $26.2 million, and you've got the increase in the long-term obligations of $16 million. So we took on $40 million of long-term, but we also paid off some of that long-term debt as well, and that's why you're seeing a net $16 million there. Total is we paid down roughly $10 million of debt during the six-month period. So that's always good. And then you're looking at cash and cash equivalents starting the period at $4.6 million with a net change of $1.7 million, and we ended with $2.8 million on the books. So that's our cash flow for the period.
Is that where we want to be? About there?
Yeah, last year, remember, marketable securities was included in cash and cash equivalents, so that's right. The reason. So, but yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Don't earn a lot of money out of cash. No, so you want to utilize it, especially since you're financing things. So,
absolutely. Because I see there's a significant difference between last year and this year, and what is a more comfortable position for us. So something around $3 million is comfortable.
And like Sherry was mentioning, there's $10 million sitting in another investment account that we have access to if we ever need it as well. Okay. It's just not considered part of this. It's considered part of investments and not part of cash fees. So that's on our books. With that, I'm going to step into just a really quick update on the ASC 606 revenue recognition standard. We've been bringing this to you each quarter, last few quarters at least. Public companies such as Chugach, we've got to implement by the end of the year, 1/1/18, and we will implement by the end of the year. We've been working with KPMG on this for the last 6 months, 9 months, and we keep doing. We've performed analysis on revenue streams. We've done 5 or 6 steps in there. We've looked at the different revenue streams. There's probably a dozen, 10 to 12 different revenue streams in there that we've looked at, identified. We are doing disclosure requirements. We've performed. Put those into the last draft. We've actually put 2 drafts before KPMG in the past 3 months, so we just handed off another draft last week. I don't think they had time to review all of it yet, but it included some disclosure requirements. And we'll keep this process going. It'll probably be an iterative process a few more times. We'll end up following up with looking at internal controls towards the end of this as well, and looking to see if we have to modify any internal controls or perhaps add internal controls. But process is going well, so we're still working with them, and I think they may speak a little bit to that tonight as well.
Yeah, that's going to actually give their opinion on where they think we are about our implementation process. So.
And with that,
this is the thing we've been talking about for a couple of years, right?
Correct.
Forever.
Right. Okay. Yeah, they came out with it a while ago, and it's just now. They usually give you plenty of time to implement it, and it's very substantial and complex. New standard. It doesn't impact us the same way it impacts others. So some of their implementation is definitely more complex than ours. But we've been talking about it for a while, and we're about 5 months away from. But we believe we're prepared. I believe KPMG will tell you we're prepared. So move forward. Good.
That's all I have. Unless you have questions.
I know, it's all good news.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, we don't complain about cold weather.
That's a huge impact. I'm going to complain privately about cold weather. Well, now supposedly we're supposed to have a very warm fall, so maybe that's either wishful thinking on my part or a good thing we're ahead of the curve.
We need an air conditioner, so, for the summer.
You bought an air conditioner?
We need.
You know, it's just like...
Sorry about that.
No,
thank you.
Good.
All right,
so
we're
going to
go...
Okay, next item is executive session. Is there a motion for going into executive session?
I'll move that pursuant to Alaska Statute 1025-175C1, the Audit and Finance Committee go into executive session to discuss financial matters, the immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect on the finances of the cooperative.
Is there a second?
Jim?
Yeah,
okay, sorry. I made a motion to go into executive session. Would you second it?
Yes, I did.
Okay, motion and second. All in favor of going into executive session? Say aye.
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 All right, so we're in. That is, Jim, do you have any more questions on this?
Go ahead.
Okay, thanks.
Shall I make a motion?
All right. Yep, we're on to item 8, new business. Is there a motion?
Madam Chair, I move that the Audit and Finance Committee recommend management file the Securities and Exchange Commission Form 10-Q by the due date incorporating any amendments to the document which will be reviewed and approved by KPMG. Ms. Stewart and Ms. Hires will immediately inform the board in writing of any material or significant changes.
Jim, are you?
I apologize. Do you ask me for a motion?
No, just a second. Me? Just a second to the motion that's.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's cutting out, but I hear both of it.
Do you second the motion?
Yeah, I second.
Okay.
Okay, motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of SEC Form 10-Q filing, signify by saying aye.
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 Madam Chair, I move that the Audit and Finance Committee recommend the Board of Directors authorize the Chief Executive Officer to enter into a revolving line of credit agreement with NRU CFC in an amount not to exceed $50 million for a term of 60 months, subject to the provisions of the agreement substantially in the form discussed in executive session.
Agreed. Second.
Motion and a second. Any further discussion on the topic? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 The motion passes unanimously. Director comments?
Good. Straight to the point meeting. Good results.
Okay. Jim, do you have any comments?
I like that presentation. I like the inventory of issues and how they're addressed. Again, our accounting is good and the company is strong, and I appreciate everything. I'm glad I'm here.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks, Jim. And I echo the comments made by Janet and Jim, and I like there were a lot of changes to the I echo the comments made by Janet and Jim. So with that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Motion second. All in favor of adjournment, say aye.
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 Adjourn.
Boom.